What's up, everybody? This is Brandon Woodruff. Welcome to the Small Business Podcast, where every week I interview a different small business owner, and I just ask them practical questions where you can just kind of take their answers and kind of make it fit your context to make your business better. Today's guest, I had Lolo Mason of Missoula Used Furniture. I connected with her, as you'll hear on the podcast, because she was one of the few people I found who seemed to be doing the furniture reselling really well, and I just asked her a lot of questions, and she gave me a lot of answers and helped me as I was getting started in selling furniture. She is just an awesome guest, and I think you'll learn a lot from her on this. Before we jump in really quickly, I'm an online fitness coach, so if you find yourself kind of like stuck not knowing what to do and all the different advice out there, or kind of having an idea but you are just struggling with staying consistent or reaching for what's next, just shoot me a text, 251-635-8055, or just go to my website, woodrufffitness.com, and I would love to just chat with you and see what the best way I can help is. And if you want to follow along with my furniture reselling, just follow me at Kansas City Used Furniture on Instagram and Facebook. All right, hope you enjoy this episode. Let me know what you think. All right, what's up, everybody, and welcome to the Small Business Podcast. I have today with me Lolo Mason. So, Lolo, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
So my name is Lolo. I live in Missoula, Montana. I just started a furniture company about it's been like 7 or 8 months.
Oh, man.
Nice. I've been kind of dabbling in furniture, like with Facebook Marketplace, for a couple of years, and then decided to take this full time. So I run my business 100% on Instagram. That's where I do 100% of my sales and marketing.
That's so impressive.
And everything.
So cool. Okay. So first of all, I definitely thought you'd been doing it a lot longer than that. Like the way you're able to, like, just like your Instagram and the way you crank stuff out and the way you answered my questions, I was like, yeah, she's been doing this for years. That's cool.
I've been studying it for years, like way too long. Like, I think I studied for like 4.5-5 years before I started this.
Yeah.
Like, I knew exactly what I wanted to do, what it's going to be called, how it was going to be run. I just like took forever to take the leap.
Yeah.
Doing
That's
it.
Cool. That, like, you, that you went in knowing stuff though, like, for sure.
Yeah. A little overprepared going in. I should have started like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I'm sure it has its advantages, though. So what were you doing before that, and what kind of, like, led you to decide to do this?
Well, I've just been kind of doing a bunch of odd jobs forever. I was going to college studying wildlife biology for a while, kind of off and on, paying out of pocket semester by semester, taking time off here and there, you know, non-traditional student. And then I was working as a waitress at a bunch of different restaurants. I did a lot of catering gigs. I did a lot of, like, I was doing weed spraying, like conservation work, just a bunch of odd jobs all mishmashed together.
That's cool.
And, you know, I'm 31 now, and I was like, okay, I've got to like do something.
Yeah.
I need a career. I need a job. If I'm not going to finish school, I've just got to make myself do something. And I've always wanted to start a business. I've been studying this one for 4 years and just went for it.
Yeah. That's so cool. I mean, I'm 31 also, and I'm very like, it's been different jobs, but very similar. Like, I feel like I've had multiple like restarts. I've never had, you know, like some of my friends have this like clear career progression, and I'm just like, you know, I've done a bunch of different stuff.
Of that.
Yeah, sometimes I am. Yeah. Like, I feel like you get kind of a, I don't know. I feel like it has its pros and cons though. Like, you have a bunch of different experiences that other people don't. You know what I mean? So that's okay. So you've already answered where you are in Missoula, Montana. Let's see. And so you've been doing it for about, you said, 7 or 8 months.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, just kind of moving into some of the practical questions here. Usually I ask here kind of who is your target audience, but like with a furniture company, I know that's probably, would you say you have any specific people you target, or is it just like anybody interested in the furniture?
Well, so I did decide to do mid-century modern furniture specifically, and vintage furniture. So kind of people our age.
Yeah.
that are just buying houses, that are buying into the trend, the mid-century trend, which is super cool. Mm-hmm. That's just what's really hot right now. But I am finding that my audience is mostly between the age of 30 and getting up to 50, like 45 range, mostly women. I do have a lot of like hardcore men fans that are like super into like the craftsmanship of certain styles of furniture that I'll get in.
Yeah.
And they're like some of my biggest followers.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Just a quick side note, like I'll tell everybody listening, like the way we connected was like and we were just talking about this before, but I got, you know, to a place like I left, you know, I went fully self-employed, like thinking I was going to be able to scale my fitness coaching business quickly. And then I was like, all right, it's not scaling as quickly as I need. So like, I'm just going to start doing something else. And I follow like, I don't know if you know, like Gary Vaynerchuk and people like that. Like I listened to him and he was like, just start flipping stuff. And I was like, well, what could I start? What could I resell? You know? And then I saw furniture. I was like, well, people always need furniture. So I started doing furniture. And then I started looking online. And it was like, there's some stuff, but I listened to like all the podcasts and read all the articles I could find. And there just didn't seem like a whole lot of like good info out there about like how to actually do it. And so I got online, like on Instagram, and found a couple of people, including you, were the only one who responded, I think. And just like, you know, who was already doing it. And you just have been like super helpful to me in like getting started. So like, I mean, it's really cool. And I'm excited to have you on here talking about this. So that's super interesting to me, like how you run it and how mine is like still so different from what you do. So that's so, so cool. So
I've been so curious how you got started and into it. So I was happy to hear that. Yeah.
And we can go back and forth about that a little bit too, like as it's kind of natural, but with marketing, let's say like, you know, so just the question of like, how do you get new prospects? Like I am absolutely fascinated by how 100% of your sales are on Instagram. I post everything to Instagram. I think I'm about to have my first sale on Instagram with a lady who's messaging me today, but I'm like 6 months in and all my sales are Facebook Marketplace, OfferUp, LetGo, and like people over 50 on Craigslist pretty much. So like, yeah, that's, I have not sold it. I'm so curious how you sell on Instagram. So like you can talk about that, but just in general, how do you get in front of people? Like, how do you market your stuff?
So, that's an interesting question. Yeah. I knew going into it that I wanted to sell mostly on Instagram. I was really surprised at the response that I got. I thought, you know, in the beginning, while I'm building my audience, I'm going to have to sell on Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist and all these other outlets. But I collected a few like badass looking pieces of furniture that I knew people were going to be like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my name is Missoula Use Furniture. So once I start following people, I was specifically targeting people in Missoula because I don't want to ship furniture at all.
Yeah.
I only want a local audience that I can, you know, they can come pick up, I can deliver. So in the beginning, I was very specifically targeting Missoula people and following them and engaging with their Instagram pages. And I posted my first few pieces of furniture and they sold within 2 or 3 days. I didn't have to post them on another outlet. So that was awesome. Right off the bat, I'd already like accomplished that goal of, you know, selling 100% on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm getting off topic a little here.
No, you're not.
I'm straying.
No, you're right on target.
But yeah, so I launched the Instagram page and I carefully curated a Missoula target audience and just by word of mouth, people just started talking about it. Like, oh my God, that's do you so follow cool. Missoula Use Furniture? Like
that's so people awesome.
Pick up furniture and like, my friend told me about you and I found your page. And, oh my God, you just have the best stuff. And,
It
took off really fast. I tested out one of those paid sponsored ads like maybe 2 months ago, and that got me a lot of new followers, but you know, I really haven't needed to do that. It's just been kind of like word of mouth and people sharing when they buy stuff, they'll take it home and take a picture of it in their house and then tag Missoula Use Furniture and then I'll get a lot of followers from that.
And that is so awesome.
It's been pretty cool.
Is Missoula like a, is it a, like what size town is this?
It's kind of a smaller town. It's a university town. So there's a lot of younger kids here, I guess. That's how I ended up here. I moved here 13 years ago for college and ended up staying.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it's, what is the population of Missoula? I don't know, like 50,000 or something like
okay.
that.
Okay. Okay. That's cool that that just like spreads like wildfire about your page. That's so awesome. So you pretty much targeted, like you decided I want to go all in on Instagram. You built an audience there and then you just continue to build it through word of mouth and like the occasional paid ad.
Yeah, exactly. Cool.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's cool. And did you do like a regular Instagram ad or did you do like the story ads?
I don't know what a story ad is.
Okay, then it was probably the I haven't done it either. Like I've just heard like that people are now advertising within the Instagram stories and I'll be looking through stories and I'll see like an ad pop up. So I'm
I do see those sponsored ads all the time and I've never thought about it. But yeah, I just did the regular one.
That's cool to know.
I did two pieces of furniture that were like, I was like, okay, this piece of furniture, I know men really love it. So I'm going to sponsor this one because I want to get men and women followers.
Yeah.
Kind of equal out my follower base.
Yeah.
And it really worked. And then I put up a really girly piece of furniture. So it really worked. It targeted the people I wanted it to, which was great.
That's awesome. You're so smart about this.
Instead of Instagram picking your audience, I did that at first and it picked my audience, but it was picking like thrifters all over the United States. So I had to go in and quickly change it to no, I only want like a 50-mile radius of Missoula because I only want Missoula followers right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. And so the referrals seem to happen just kind of word of mouth. You don't even have to like tell people, hey, share it. They just kind of like do when they get something from you.
Yeah. They just do it. Which is that's cool.
So awesome. That's like the dream. So getting into kind of like content. So, I mean, with some people I talk about, I mean, like fitness coaches or marketers or whatever I've interviewed, it's a little different because you're like trying to teach somebody how to do something, you know, versus trying to sell them furniture. So the content is more yours. I know what you put out, but what do you mainly put out on Instagram? Is it just posting the pieces? Like what kind of stuff do you put on Instagram?
Mainly just posting the pieces. In the beginning, I was like, I'm never going to put my face on Instagram. I don't want people knowing who I am because Missoula is kind of a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of quickly changed that and I've started putting my face in front of the camera a lot more, which was like super duper uncomfortable at first. But people really like that. They like that personal connection.
Yeah.
And I've really liked it. I've built a lot of relationships through Instagram, which has been really cool.
That is cool.
Like a kind of unexpected thing with Instagram. But basically the content I put on there is just my furniture sales. I'll give people sneak peeks in my stories and then I'll kind of talk to people about what I'm doing with furniture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then, so like, let's talk like, how do your sales work? So like, do they kind of like say, I want this like through Instagram and then you just set a time for them to come pick it up or like, how does that work?
Yeah. So if I post something to Instagram, you'll have to direct message me right away, and put yourself in line. A lot of people think because my furniture does sell pretty quickly. Mm. A lot of people think it's first come first serve, kind of like Facebook Marketplace or something. And it's not, if you're the first to lay claim to it, ask all the questions you want because I want to make sure like you want this piece, it's going to fit in your space and I'll give you time and then work through the people in line.
Yeah.
So it is, you have to direct message me though. I've had people comment on my photos before, but I don't get notifications for those comments.
Yeah.
Like I do direct messages right away.
Mm-hmm.
So the safest bet is to message me and then we'll work out payment plan. If they really want it, they have to put down a little bit of a deposit.
Yeah.
To, you know, promise they're going to come pick it up and then we'll arrange delivery or pickup.
Okay. So you do offer like delivery to people?
I do offer delivery. Yeah. Free delivery if you live in Missoula. And actually, I haven't delivered out of town yet, but I would charge for that.
Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. I learned pretty quickly with the furniture that if I, like once I started putting free delivery literally on the post, my sales probably like three times, like that week, because I realized how many people like want stuff, but don't have like a truck or a van or means to get
it.
And, but like I made the mistake of like not specifying any mile radius or whatever. So, and I'm still pretty new to Kansas City. So like if somebody says like, oh, you know, I'm in, there's like one area, it's like Tonganoxie, Kansas or something. Kansas City's like is on the line. And so I was like, okay, that can't be too far. So like, I was like, all right, see you at 3, you know, and I put it in and it's like an hour and 20 minutes away or something. I was like,
no. Yeah.
And so I did that a few times. And so now I'll put like free delivery within 15 miles or something like that. And if, and I'll charge, I will deliver further, but like you said, I'll charge them a little bit more, but I made that mistake more times than I should have for sure. It should have only been once. And it was probably like 3 times. So, cool. So that's awesome. So usually this is where I talk about kind of like client retention and keeping clients and stuff, but really doesn't apply. But I would kind of pivot this question to you and ask, like, do you have any people like who come to you for like multiple pieces? Like they buy a piece and they like just become your fan and they come and get more from you?
Oh yeah. It's been great. Yeah. I have like some of the people that bought for me in the very, very beginning that keep coming back for stuff. And I also have people that have just bought for me and, they just still like to talk to me. They're not necessarily buying stuff, but they'll be like, hey, did you see this awesome bedroom set on Craigslist? And they'll share. They're kind of like my little pickers. They'll
That's so awesome.
And it's so sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've actually, I've formed some great relationships with people. It's been awesome.
That is so cool.
But yeah, I definitely have the recurring customers that come to me, you know, a couple times a month to buy like not necessarily big furniture items, but like little knick-knacky brass items. They're like collecting those or, you know, they're slowly curating furniture pieces in their house. So yeah, I definitely have a lot of recurring customers, which is
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And like you told me before, I think that you said like kind of the key to growing and selling furniture on Instagram is like establishing a niche like that, you know, like a, like mid-century or vintage or, you know, even like a certain type of furniture, piece of furniture. And I haven't done that yet. And I think that's why I haven't had any Instagram sales. So I think I'm going to implement that shortly. But that's awesome. That's really cool that you're having like, you know, people who just like build that relationship and then they just like watch your stuff and they're like, oh, I like that. And they just come back to you. That's really cool. All right. So, one question I like to ask here, so I think that like with regards to self-improvement, like learning about like business, furniture, whatever. So obviously I know like by the fact that you put in like 3 years of research before you actually like started selling it, like you're pretty committed to that. I think a lot of times people who have small businesses just kind of like go in with whatever knowledge they have and just kind of ride that rather than continuing to grow and improve. Like what would you say are some of the ways that you continue to like learn and grow and improve in what you do? And you can even talk about like what you did up front before you started if you want to.
Well, I did all the research up front before I started and I finally started. But I am continuing to learn as I go. You know, I'd like to source furniture a little bit differently. I'd like to start buying more in bulk than I am right now. Once I have, you know, more money to be able to just go and buy whole estates or whatever. But in terms of continuing my education for business, I actually just last week joined a Masterminds entrepreneur group. Actually the gal that did that video interview with me, the Badassery blog, she actually reached out to me a few weeks ago and was like, hey, I'm part of this like close-knit entrepreneurs group. There's only 20 of us, but 3 people are kind of dropping out. And the head of the group just asked us to like bring in some new people that we think would be great fits for the group. So I went to my first meeting last Thursday and it's great. It's just like a whole mix of entrepreneurs doing totally different businesses. Yeah. And we just kind of get together and work through problems that everybody's having in their own business. And it's been great. It was a really uncomfortable experience for me. This is like a year of doing things that are uncomfortable, like this podcast.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I'm saying yes to things like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to build a network with other entrepreneurs so I'm not as like alone in this and kind of get help working through problems that I'm not so great at.
Yeah. That's awesome. And I think that I will say that the one thing that I expected a lot of like difficulties going like fully self-employed, but I did not. The one thing that caught me off guard was like being alone a lot. You know what I mean? It's not, and of course, like that sounds stupid because I knew I'd be alone, but like I didn't expect to like notice being alone, if that makes sense, you know.
And it's a feeling you have no one to talk to about. You have to talk to yourself about working through problems.
I mean, like I have friends who have their own businesses, but they're not doing like what I'm doing at all, so it's like we can we have certain things we can talk about, but it's not like they, you know, are gonna know about like, you know, this sofa that I'm going to pick up, you know, or like, or with the fitness stuff, whatever. I mean, it's, so that's, I totally understand that. I need to find something like that locally.
Yeah. I mean, you can only talk to your friends and spouse about it so
much. Exactly. Yeah. I talk to my wife like constantly about it until like, she's so understanding and listens constantly, but I know at some point, like she's just being kind to me, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so like you've talked a little bit about this. So planning wise, you know, I think some people who have businesses are very like they plan way far in the future. Other people are really just like fly by the seat of their pants every day. Like, how would you say that you kind of plan and even go into some of like what some of your next steps are if you want to, like in your business? Like how do you plan for the future and try to keep growing?
I do need to get better about planning. I do have a long-term vision about where I want to be and what I am working towards right now. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to be working out of my garage at home. So the next step in business is to get an actual warehouse space where people can actually come one day a week and shop the furniture and look at what I have in person rather than all solely on Instagram. I don't want to piss my neighbors off by having like big sales out of my garage.
100 people out there. Yeah,
I did that once, and I was just so floored by how many people showed up. I'm really? Like, oh my god, my neighbors hate me. I can't do this again.
Oh, my god. That's awesome.
So yeah, I do have a long-term vision of where I want to be, like in the next 5 years, but no like super concrete plans of how to get there exactly. I need to get a little bit better about planning in that regard, but
yeah it seems like you have short-term plans too, though, even like the pushing yourself to do things like this podcast and like that group and things, you know, that you weren't doing last year, right? So that's
right, exactly. Yeah
So this is a little bit more of like a random specific question, but I had somebody kind of like say that this is a good one to ask on the podcast. Just get like, what do you use to like accept payment? Like what kind of apps or software do you prefer to use?
Okay. Yeah. So since I'm on Instagram and my target audience is kind of like people our age that are like all using Venmo and stuff, mm-hmm. I take payment through Venmo and PayPal. I do have Cash App, but I've only actually probably taken 4 payments through Cash App. But I do have the odd person that's like, oh, I don't have Venmo or PayPal, but I do have Cash App. So I take the payment like that, or if they don't have any of those apps, I'm not going to force them to get them. So I'll take cash or check at time of pickup.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really interesting. Yeah, I also do Venmo and Cash App and cash, like, because I do a lot of local meetups, sometimes delivering it into, you know, I see way more people, the inside of way more people's houses than I ever thought I would nowadays.
Yeah, right.
But like, you know, mostly cash. I have not done PayPal just because I'm greedy and I don't like that they take a fee. Like, you know.
I don't either, and I don't tell people that I have PayPal. They have to ask me.
Yeah, but and they feel comfortable with it.
Yeah. It's kind of embarrassing too. I mean, it just seems unprofessional because PayPal is still my personal email. Mm-hmm. It's connected to my business account, but I don't want people having my personal email. So I really don't like promoting PayPal because I'm like, I'd rather like the Missoula Used Furniture email be out there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that pretty much wraps up the practical piece. So what I like to do is kind of finish with kind of 4 quick questions here. So let's just say that like you meet somebody or one of your clients or whatever wants to start out like a new business. They want to start whatever it is, their own kind of small business. Like, what would you say, like, if you could only give them like one piece of advice, what would you say is like a good piece of advice to give somebody who's either like a new business owner or they're thinking about starting their own business?
I would say put put your research in, put your time in before starting, you know, mm-hmm. know, build some parameters around what you're going to do. like, yeah, who is your target audience going to be, you know, and have other businesses in the area like yours started up before, and were they successful? Did they fail? Why were they successful? Why did they fail? And what are you going to do differently? Just put the time in and put the research in and know what you're getting into before you launch.
Yeah.
So you're not surprised.
Yeah.
You're going to learn things when you launch anyway that, you know, there's something to be said for starting, but definitely put the time in, research what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And I wish I had heeded that advice before, because if I had just like put research, because I literally like one day I was like, all right, I'm going to sell furniture now. And I think I got like the piece of furniture the next day or something, you know.
Yeah.
And if I had put in time like you did, I think I would have already started with like a specific kind of furniture I was going after. I'm kind of doing that on the fly and narrowing it down, like, you know, so that's really awesome.
Well, you know, I did flip furniture before I started Missoula Used Furniture. It took me a while. I was flipping furniture on Marketplace.
Yeah.
It took me a while to kind of like narrow it down to what I was going to do here and how I was going to make it work as a business here.
Yeah.
Furniture is like always a safe thing to invest in, no matter who you are. Everybody always needs furniture.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I'm hoping it's a recession-proof business.
Yeah.
Furniture and used furniture especially.
Yep It's one of the, you know, for me, like I joined groups just learning, trying to learn from other people who are reselling things, and so I connect online with like all kind of different like people who resell different stuff, and I keep wanting to, like, I keep thinking, all right, I'm gonna branch out and do this too, you know, I'm gonna do the furniture and this, which is really kind of dumb because I'm already doing fitness coaching and the furniture, and I don't need to add another thing. But I was thinking, like, you know, I see this guy over here making six figures reselling shoes or whatever, you know, and I start thinking, like, I'll do this, I'm going to try this. But then I go back to just like what you said, like, if a recession hits, like, people probably aren't going to want to spend $600 on the newest Nikes, you know what I mean? But they're still going to need like a table of chairs to eat at, you know? So, I mean, yeah, that's for sure.
But no, that's totally fun. That's a good thing, because you're constantly like researching businesses and just like getting excited about new business ideas. And I do that too. I'm like, I mean, since I was little, I've been obsessed with like having my own business, and I'm just like, oh my God, like looking at the latest business idea, like, oh, should I start a blog? Should I start like that?
Yeah. You
know? That's been obsessed with, you know, business,
so cool,
and researching it. It's just kind of fun.
Yeah. And I like it that one of the reasons I'm doing this podcast too is because I like having people on from different industries, because, you know, I mentioned this in a previous episode, but I think that, like, you know, when I'm sitting here interviewing another fitness coach, you know, I'm still so new to the furniture thing that, like, it's different. But for when I'm talking to another fitness coach, we've both been in this for a while, we both have heard the same advice, you know what I mean? But like when I suddenly interview somebody who's in marketing, or somebody who sells furniture, who's somebody who's in construction, like, you know, different things, like, you haven't heard the things that fitness coaches have heard and learned it that way. You know, you have like a whole different, like, your industry has a whole different way of doing things. And I think that sometimes that's one of the best places we learn, is like getting outside of our normal like group and figure out like, how do they do this? And like applying that, making it fit your context. So that's really cool. Thanks for that.
Yeah. I think that's super cool that you've started this blog. Yeah. It's like a resource for you to like learn new things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, literally half of the reason I'm doing this podcast is completely selfish. Like, I'm learning so much just from the people I interview. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
So here's the question that I'm only asking the first like 10 people that I have on here, just because it's a new podcast. What questions, is there anything that we've gone through that like you wish I would have asked a question about something, or like I know you've listened to some of the episodes. Thanks for that, by the way.
So yeah,
like, if you listen, like, is there ever a question that you're like, man, it'd be helpful if you asked the guest this, is there anything like that that pops out?
So since I did binge listen to all of your episodes one night, they were awesome. I was like cleaning out my storage area popped it in. I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually a really good podcast. Like, I don't think I'm qualified to be on this show.
You totally are. And thank you for saying
that.
Best
guests on.
Yeah, man, they're awesome. They're awesome people.
So I was thinking about this question. So like, gosh, I don't know what to add, but you actually touched on what I was going to suggest in our episode, kind of like how you met the guests that you're interviewing. Good people on here. I'd kind of love to hear more of your backstory together, like how y'all formed a relationship. You already kind of touched on that with us today, so don't need to go there. I kind of like to hear that, like, oh, how did they meet?
I'm gonna write that down and I will definitely ask that. Yeah, because usually it's the answer is the internet. But right. Not always. So like, but,
you know, why were you drawn to them? Why did you ask them to be on your show? Like, what about them is like, what about their business is cool that you're like, hey, I want people to hear about this, and or I want to know more about this aspect of what they're doing or why they're so successful. Or it just kind of adds a little personal touch that is interesting to me.
Yeah. Definitely. So how did I meet the guest, and why did I decide to have them specifically on the show? Cool. I'll definitely ask that from now on. I love that question. So
we're just like even prefacing the show with that, like, hey, this is my guest. Yeah. And this is how I met him and or her. And I really wanted to have them on because of this or whatever that you saw that was cool and what they're doing that's different.
Yeah. Yeah, now that you say that, it probably would be better for me to preface it up front rather than to ask them and put them on the spot and then they forget, like, oh, how did we meet? You know, so I'll do that. I love that. And then where can people find you? I know you've already said it several times, but what's the best place to find you?
On Instagram, the handle is at Mazzulli's Furniture. I think there's some underscores in there separating the name out, which I've heard recently is actually not a good thing
I've
to
heard
have.
The same, yeah.
Maybe it was your podcast. Was it your podcast?
I think, yeah. Somebody on my podcast did say that. I can't remember.
Really? Right. Okay. I was like, where did I hear that in the last year?
Yeah, it was, but they said the reason was because, like, the spaces make it not show up in a search engine, basically. Like, I guess if somebody searches Google, you know, they search Mazzulli Used Furniture on Google, it's less likely to pop up if you have the underscores in the name, is what they said. I haven't like validated that, but it totally makes sense.
Interesting. Well, I've Googled Mazzulli Used Furniture before and I do not pop up in the search engines. And that's like one of my things to do is maximize my, whatever you call it, SEO search. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something I haven't heard about either. Yeah. I wonder too. I wonder if that, and that could very well be a reason. I don't know. So
I'm going to change it and I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, let me know. Let me know if you see any change from that. Cool. All right, well, Lolo, I'm going to end the podcast here. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to come on, especially being that it's a year where you're trying to like push yourself to do things like this. So that's really
cool. Well, thanks a lot. That was awesome.
Thank you. Hey, Brandon again. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed it, got anything from it, please tune back in and please share it with any other small business owners in your life.